Thank you, Jim. Good to see each of you here. I had experience while we was kneeling for our little child in administration. I have what I believe is an important sermon. I believe I had a thought come to my mind that this sermon can wait if you would desire to have a season of prayer for Sarah. It doesn't matter to me. But what I'm to speak of today is about our concern for one another. And I witnessed something up in Colorado that I witnessed the elder. He preached a sermon that I believe was the truth. And he was put to the test that very day. I believe it was that day or the next day he preached that sermon. He had to apply to his life what he felt was the truth and what he knew was the truth. So I have to follow what I believe is the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if you would desire to hear this sermon, that is my desire. Debbie, we sure can. I would like to have a season of prayer right now for Sarah, if nobody objects. And I'll leave. Shall we kneel?
Brother Andy, meet our prayers.
Thank you, Jim. I tell you, it was hard for me to do. But once I did it, I've never felt so good. It's just a hard step, but I'm glad I did it. I think it was a lesson to me. I don't know if it helped you out any, but it was a lesson to me. I'd like to read a scripture in Book of Mormon for text. I'm not going to say too much about it now, but it's going to be my subject tonight. This morning, yeah. I know where my mind is. Tonight when Don's speaking. It's on page 169. It's the second chapter of Jacob. I'm going to read one verse. Now, to give you a little information, a man of God was gathered a group of people together here, and he was getting on to them about some pretty serious offenses. He's getting on to the men especially. He's talking about such things as adultery and concubines and whatnot. I'm not interested in that part of the speech. What I'm interested in is one verse. And he makes a statement in the seventh verse. And he's talking to the women and the children. And I'm talking to the women and the children and the men and myself. And also, he's talking about his speech he has to give or his sermon. And also agree with me that I must use so much boldness of speech concerning you before your wives and your children, many of whose feelings are exceeding tender and chaste and delicate before God, which thing is pleasing to God. Now my subject tonight is the feelings that he's talking about, the feelings of tenderness and chaste feelings, the delicate feelings that he was concerned about, the delicate feelings that I'm concerned about. I think I was given part of this sermon, and I know I was given part of it in Grand Junction Reunion. And part of the sermon was a statement that you heard Margie mention that Brother Ely had given about crossing over a threshold. A spiritual threshold is what he was talking about. And my mind was sifting through some things. Unlike Margie's, I had already made the connection of love and our ability to serve each other, and we don't want people to be hurt, and therefore when there's a cry or someone in trouble, we love them, and therefore we do what we can for them, which to be honest is not anything physical. It's our prayers and our faith that we can help our brothers and sisters in need out of. But the statement to cross over the threshold, I was taking it as a specific matter concerning reunions. Now, I want you to think back of a pattern our reunions take, a pattern which we've all enjoyed, and yet I'm not satisfied with, and in a way it kind of disturbs me, you know? And that pattern is we gather together on a Friday, and we kneel in prayer, and I sense in this first prayer meeting a rather stiffness. No, that isn't the word. It's just a rather, we're not in gear, you know? We're not, I use the word intense to explain it to someone. They didn't like that word, but that's the only word I can come up with right now. We aren't intense in our prayers. It's like we're kind of breaking the ice. And, you know, Saturday comes along and we have a beautiful spirit, usually on a Saturday, but we're all anticipating Sunday when the Spirit of God will be there in power. And it usually is. And that's beautiful. I've enjoyed that all my life. Well, since I've been going to reunions. But it bothers me, you see, because I don't think that's what the Lord wants. I'd like to talk to you tonight about these delicate feelings. I believe the Lord wants us to come Friday with intensity and concern. It doesn't matter whether a little baby's been struck down or someone's been possessed by the devil. We shouldn't need this catapult in our services. I'd like to turn to a couple of scriptures. I think I'll go to 1 Nephi, page 21, and I want to read one verse, I believe. It's a well-known scripture. It's about the vision that Lehi saw. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to start with the 67th, and I'm talking about this mist of darkness. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, and even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, that they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mist of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they had come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And I'm presenting to you that we are in that position. There's a mist of darkness around here. I'd like to turn over to the third chapter. It's on page 32 and read a little bit more about that mist of darkness. This is one verse, 125. And the mists of darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blindeth the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men, and lead them away into broad roads, that they may perish and are lost. Notice, they blind your eyes and harden the hearts. They take away that special feeling, that intense feeling that God wants us to have, that pure feeling toward one another and toward God. I'd like to turn now to, I believe, Matthew, the 24th chapter. You might even know what I'm going to read. It's so well read, the 24th chapter of St. Matthew. But there's one verse, and it's the 12th verse, and I want you to keep this scripture in mind because it's going to be my closing scripture also. And I'm going to make a few remarks about then. And because iniquity, remember, the temptations of the devil is that mist of darkness. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, what is this tangible love we're talking about? I believe it's that exceedingly fine feelings we have for each other that the devil wants to destroy. And what destroys them? The temptations and the darkness that the devil produces of the world, the iniquities of the world, destroy that feeling, that good, clean feeling. You know what else? Along with those feelings, it destroys our desire to respond to each other. It destroys our feeling to be alert to danger. I'd like to give you an example of what, how people can just be so blinded that they don't even see their own situation. I'd like to turn to John, the 8th chapter. When I read this, it just floored me. I'd read it probably, a dozen times, because this is one of my favorite scriptures. I've read it to you before about where Christ says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And that's not what I'm going to preach about today, but I love that scripture. And these are some Jews that had been convinced of Christ. They answered him, "We be of Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man." I want you to listen to that. The Jewish people who had probably, for every 1 year they've had freedom in their, up until that time, they had 10, 15 years in bondage. Right there they stood under the Roman bondage. The Roman power had them. And they were telling Christ, "We've never been in bondage." That's how blind man can be. And how far nearsighted they can be. All they can see is their own wants and desires. We get tied up. And these feelings that God wants us to have within us, this intensity gets eroded, and we don't even realize it. The mist of darkness. These Jews here, these Jewish people who were talking to Christ, were so wrapped up in this mist of darkness, and their own desires, and their own will, and the worldly temptations and iniquities, that they didn't even see what was right before them. A Roman guard with a spear to their throat. I'm talking about physical. They couldn't even see that, let alone the spiritual boundaries they were in. They couldn't see it. I'd like to turn. I don't know how to explain. I really don't know how to explain what I want to say to you concerning these feelings and the needs we have to sharpen our desires toward each other. I'd like to go to Ephesians, 4th chapter, and the 25th verse. And a lot of this I'm not even going to make comment about. There's a couple things I want to bring out to you. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Now I want you to pay particular attention, "for we are members one to another." And I want you to know that there's a lot of people that live in isolated situations that survive. But I have a feeling, because I've seen it, and I don't mean to sound like I'm coming down on anybody that's isolated, because a lot of times it's not their fault. But there comes a time when a person's isolated that it is his choice, his or her choice, and they lose spiritual power. I've seen it. And the only time they take the time to do anything, any spiritual activities, is when a traveling minister comes through, if he ever does. I mean, that's not every case. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean that as every case. But we are members one of another. And I want to, now we've got a brother here that's isolated, our brother Andy. But I want you to think about what he's done. In case you don't know it, he drove all the way over to California, from California to here, because he has spiritual need. And the reason he did that is that the elders were not available to go to him. There is a difference between being isolated and not relying upon the church when you need it. The facilities that God has put before us. And I want you to know there is a difference. There are people in this town, Andy. There are people in this town that would not drive across the street to seek spiritual help. So I wanted to make that straight and clear, Andy. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind, and this is the scripture, the verse, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And I'm presenting to you probably not a new concept, but we are to offer our lives, our efforts, as a sacrifice for one another. If there's a need, we've got to cultivate. Our response must be instant. If there's not a need, that's where I think we've been lacking. We are usually very responsive, more so recently than in the past, when there's been a great need or when there's been a need. I noticed, I'm going to give you an example that I'm not too happy about using it, but I'm going to. You know, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I think the Colorado reunion, this past one, was one of the best. It filled me more than any past Colorado reunion. There were some blessings there. I think I said in a testimony here last Wednesday night, there were blessings if we could write them down, but this whole city of Phoenix couldn't match them. There were hidden blessings and there were hidden needs fulfilled. But what I was going to say is I noticed there were several ministrations, and I noticed that in a couple of the ministrations, a few people kneeled. The rest of them sat like we're sitting now. And there was another ministration, and the need was a little greater, and a few more people kneeled, but part of the congregation sat. And then there was an incident that happened to a young sister that drew our hearts into her and drew our feelings and sharpened them to a razor's edge. And everybody kneeled. And what I am saying is the first prayer offered should be that intense of any reunion or any meeting. Now, you know, I'm not unrealistic. I know we can't keep that high, but I'm saying we should strive to keep that high, and we should strive to be that intense. Think about it for our next reunion. Why should I wait? Why should you wait for Sunday morning to just almost reach that threshold to step over? Why not start Friday? And by Saturday morning, we're across the threshold. And it can be done. It can be done. I'd like to read a couple phrases, a couple words, and you'll know exactly where they come from. They're from the Bible, and it's the poor in spirit, mourners, meek. These are words and phrases I've just taken out of one set of scriptures. Those who hunger after and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. Everybody knows where it's come from, don't they? 5th chapter, St. Matthew. Every one of those words, when you read about them in the 5th chapter, St. Matthew, require effort and action on your part. You don't become a peacemaker just by accident, just because you want to be a peacemaker. You bridle your tongue. You don't lie about your people. You don't argue with people. You don't fight with people. You deliberately go out of your way to get along with people that you like and you don't like. You try to soothe over situations. You don't become meek by carrying a .44 around on your hip and being cocky and threatening everybody. And that's an exaggeration, but a lot of us have a .44 Magnum right here, boy. We're ready to fight anybody and anything. And a lot of us have a .44 Magnum right here between our lips. And it's loaded. And we don't become meek by shooting off our mouths, we don't become poor in spirit by ignoring people and their needs. And we don't become poor in spirit by getting wrapped up in things in the world till it drags us down. We can't feel it. Feel the needs of our brothers and sisters. I'd like to go over to the Romans 12th chapter. Every one of those words and phrases I read is important in our lives. I'm going to read I know what I want to read, but where to start. I'm going to start, I believe, with the first verse and read most of the chapter. A lot of it doesn't really pertain to what I'm saying, but I don't want to leave any one thing out. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the renewing of our mind is not ignoring the Word of God, is not ignoring the Spirit, is not ignoring each other. These things have to be a part of our lives. And we have to work at them. And we have to control certain things that destroy us. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, and to every woman and child that can understand, you know, a little adding to the scriptures, but I'm going to. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, every one members one of another. Little comment there. I really think that we're fooling ourselves if we think we can get away and survive without each other. Without each other's talents. Do you understand what this is saying? Each of us are different, and each of us have different talents, and we need them. You need them. I need them. And it's like a close net. Together each strand is weak and separate. Separate it's weak and breaks easily. You know what I meant. And together they're strong and can hold a great deal of weight and pressure. And we're supposed to be as one, in one mind and one thought. I want you to think about and define that in your minds, what that means, because I know what I think it means. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And from here on is where I really want you to pay attention. Be kindly affected to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And you know, to me, that means a lot right there. You know, I can remember, I don't know, I'm not going to mention that. I just know that if you stand up here and talk about it, and rather would, and then next Sunday go to a football game, and you know, there may not be anything wrong with that if it's just once in a while. I'm not sure if there's anything wrong with that. But if it's a habit, if you keep telling people, I'd rather be with you and never show up, you know, they begin to get the hint. And it's the same with our needs. If you say, I'm concerned with the growth of the church, and then turn your back on needs, you're not honoring one another. You're not preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And Margie and I was talking about that little, he's talking about being instant in prayer, and she remarked how neat it was to just hear that, to think about that, instant in prayer. You know, I can remember a time, and this I'm not proud of either, I remember a time when this group right here was not necessarily the quickest to respond to a need. I can remember a couple instances where a need was brought to us, and okay, we'll go home and pray about it. I love it when we can compare what we are now to what we was, because we have grown. And we need to be, always remember to be instant in prayer with our needs. Okay, I'm going right back to what I said before. I don't believe we should have a disaster to catapult us onto our knees. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think this instant in prayer goes deeper than our catastrophes and our wants and our desires. I think the instant in prayer is our thanksgiving and our gratefulness and our gratitude to a God that if he wanted to, he could squash us like we as grasshoppers. You know it and I know it. But he doesn't, because he loves us. He gave his only son because he loves us. And the bigness of that gift is beyond description and understanding. Instant in prayer in thankfulness, not only in troubles. Remember, I'm going to harp on that. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I want you to remember, this goes right along with the fifth chapter of Matthew. If you want to be meek and peaceful and a peacemaker and a mourner, then you have to put these things into practice. You have to apply these things to your life. You have to be kind and gentle and give things to people who need them. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And that doesn't mean go laughing and giggling down the street. That means when something great has happened, you rejoice because it's happened through the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And you give glory to God in your rejoicing. And weep with them that weep. I go right back to the instant in prayer, because that's part of it. Be of the same mind. No. Work on this one. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Be of the same mind. Mind not high things, but conceited of men of low estate. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, you know, I was going to stop there. But because of some remarks I have in a few minutes, I'm going to read on. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Remember that. I'm going to save my place there. I'm going to turn to my closing scripture, which I told you was in St. Matthew, 24th chapter. And I'm going to make a few comments about the 12th verse. And I'm in the 23rd chapter. Helps if you get the right place. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I've always felt that when they were talking about that iniquity, they were talking about things I did, things you did. But you know, I am convinced, and I believe through the Holy Spirit, that it doesn't have to be the things we necessarily do. You know, there are people, we see so much violence and we hear so much violence. And I'm going to use, you know, murder. Nobody here, I believe, would consider shooting another person. But we see murder portrayed so simply and so easily and so quickly In the newspapers, on TV, in the movies, everywhere we go, it's murder, rape, just all kinds of filth. And I believe the influence of this iniquity can harden our hearts. And I'm going to give you an example. I used to be this way, so I know what I'm talking about. I've really changed my mind. And this is going to be touchy. I hope I can do it right. You know, because of what I read in the scriptures, I used to sleep with a loaded gun by my bed. No, I didn't sleep with a loaded gun because I, that's not why I kept a loaded gun, but I kept a loaded gun, and because of what I read in the scriptures, I have unloaded it and put it on a shelf. We are so boggled down by the easiness of taking another's life in this world that I used to think if somebody put their foot through that window, they're going to have to come through me and my pistol. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I've never owned more than I do right now materially. And there isn't a thing I've got that is worth shooting a man for and killing a man for. But we get, you know, when you got a pistol by your bed and somebody does come through the door, it says over here, I'd like to reread this, if I can find it again. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Now, I don't believe that means if he walks on his side of the sidewalk and you walk on yours, everything's hunky-dory. I think that means if he intercedes in your life, an evil person and a violent person, you're to do everything possible to overcome that evil with good. And I guarantee you, if you've got a .44 Magnum by your side, the first thing you're going to do is blow his guts all across the room. And notice the phraseology. I use that on purpose because we hear it all the time. And in our mind, there's people in this church, not I don't know about this congregation, but in this church, that there would come a situation where they'd do it. They'd pull the trigger. I know it. I've witnessed the Spirit. And I'm saying just because we've never done it and we don't think we ever will doesn't mean we aren't influenced by the iniquity around us. And it eats at our love for one another and for people we don't know that we should love. That's just one example. You know, it's funny. I've heard people say if a person comes at my wife and my kid, and I'll tell you what, there's nobody loves their kid more than me. And they say if I'd kill them, but yet that same person, if Russia was invading the East Coast, they'd do everything they could to get out of the army. I've heard that too. And I don't blame them, I'll be honest with you. I'm not blaming them for that. But if you're going to use scripture in the Book of Mormon that says you have a right to defend your family, you better think about what you're doing. And maybe I'm carrying this over, but I'm just trying to use an example of how the world influences our thinking. There are people I know of, and I know that lay with a loaded gun. And I'm telling you, if you kill someone here, you might get away with it. You might be justified, but there's a life thereafter. And I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know how I'd react, but I don't think I could even kill someone that was bothering my little baby and my wife. I really don't know if I could. That's how strong I feel about this. The tender feelings that we're supposed to have one toward another. And I guess I'm talking outside of our walls now. But I don't want your love to grow cold. Even if you don't agree with me about the loaded gun. I don't want your love to grow cold for anybody. And especially for the household of faith. And I want you to be instant in prayer. I want you to be diligent. I want you to be of one mind. And that doesn't mean you have to agree with each other on everything. That means you want the best for each other. The best spiritual growth and power and healings and blessings and joy for one another. Thank you very much.